You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the second of tonight's 3 hours of TPC. Jason, how fast, how quickly did the first hour go by for you? Now, you're a guy that could do 9 hours in one setting. I mean, you know time.
That's the rumor. I can't believe it, actually. It's genuinely, the time has flown by. Normally, that's just a cliche. But today, it is absolutely the case. It has flown by.
Have you enjoyed, of all the hours you've done as a commentator on live streams, and again, you do it as a marathon man, have that first hour stack. You've been on this show many times, but to be co-hosting this particular broadcast with you tonight from this particular gathering in South Carolina, really special, and I don't think we could have done better. I mean, I miss Keith. Keith didn't make the trip. I can't wait to get back in the studio with Keith next week. Keith Alexander, everybody. Let's hear it for Keith. But
I'm going to tell you what, this has been splendidly beautiful. Every single moment of this first hour, the people who are here, we can hear the festivities still outside. People are still celebrating. We're surrounded by love here. That's really what is motivating us.
And it's not just
us.
The people that are in the facility as we sit and broadcast inside this the structure tonight, but they're all outside as well. I mean, it's just that they're everywhere, and they're coming and going, and they're intermingling, and it's all happening around us. But yes,
we have folks walking up who are listening to the show on their phones.
Yes, we actually just had that with our gentleman friend over here, and it's been great to meet a lot of old fans and new fans, and take pictures and sign autographs. And yes, he came up as he was listening to the commercial break on his phone, and I said, "Well, you're listening to the show on your phone." Well, there's so many ways to listen, but that's fantastic, and I want to thank him again.
Yeah, big salute
for being here. Well, let's get now to the young man who drove all the girls crazy. They didn't even see him. They didn't have to, as articulate as he was. And that is Hunter. Now, Hunter, if you were not already a married man, you would have been after your last show. So welcome back to the broadcast, my friend. We had a great, great time with Hunter back in November, and we went out to eat last night, a few of the usual suspects and the people behind the scenes here. And Hunter was there at that dinner, so we reacquainted ourselves and rekindled that friendship, and now he's back on the show. How you doing, Hunter?
Good. Thanks for having me on the show, James. We had a good time last night, didn't we?
Oh, we certainly did.
So today's July 10th, and that marks 6 years after July 10th of 2015. And this is an important date to me because that was the same day that Nikki Haley, a.k.a. Nimrata Rwanda, I'm not even sure how to say her last name, she ain't nothing but a stranger to me, took down the Confederate flag in South Carolina. And we are still here. And that's my four words for y'all. We are still here. Right now. And so, you know, Deuteronomy 17:15 says, "Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee." And that's what we did when we elected Nimrata Rwanda above us as a governor. And we paid the price for that. The Confederate flag came down. But like you've been saying, and Mr. Jason has been saying, it don't matter. They can knock down all our monuments. They can put all that propaganda out on the TVs and the movies. They can spat us in the news. It don't matter. We're still here, y'all.
How about
We're
this accent, here. Lady? I thought I was Southern. How about this guy's accent?
I mean, I'm just getting into it. I kind of hold a grudge against her, to be frank with
you. Well, no kidding. As you should, and as we all do. But, you know, you were quoting scripture there, and that was a great verse from Deuteronomy. I saw a T-shirt that someone was wearing earlier with a scripture from Proverbs, and I can only paraphrase, but perhaps you can give us the exact quotation. But it was along the lines of, "Do not take down the ancient landmarks that your ancestors have set."
The ancient landmarks that your fathers have set. So, and because there's we are given a law. And that law is what we are to live by. And because we disobey that law, there are consequences. And because we don't live by that law,
we've enforced, if you will, Hunter, the what you're experiencing today and the wisdom that you are sharing from elders that you have gladly, and it's apparent you've done the right thing. You have gladly sat at the knees of our wise elders and imbibed the information from them. Today you're seeing the boisterousness, the conviviality, the joy in people's hearts while they're here today. Weave together that with the wisdom that you are sharing with us.
Right, and we're here, and we're going to be loud and proud, and we're going to be together, and we're just going to be happy to share our fellowship with one another, and we ain't going to let nobody tell us that we got to be ashamed of being white. We're not going to let nobody
Amen.
Tell us to be ashamed to be Southern. We're not going to tell. We're not going to let nobody tell us that we're ashamed to be white Western people.
Yeah, amen.
And the things that we are facing here as Southerners, our people are facing globally. I don't
That's
care
right.
if you're in London. I don't care if you're in Australia.
That's
if
right.
you're in Italy. We're all facing the same thing, and that's erasure and demographic replacement.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. Well said, brother.
And Jason, you were speaking to this this garden that we were planted in, and the way I see it, we're all planted in a garden. God moves us the way that He sees fit, and God planted me here in the Garden of Dixie.
Amen.
And by God,
Amen.
I'm going to keep it, protect it, improve it, and service it.
Amen.
And maintain it. That's what we're here in earth for. That's what God sowed me here to do. And part of that is not letting the world overcome us, but us overcoming the world.
Well, well said. Having that resiliency. What is it about having the resiliency to stand against the anti-whites when you know they have so much wealth, they have so much power, and so many people become morose. They become melancholic because they see this power, they see this wealth. They don't know how to respond to it. How do you stay proud? How do you stay invigorated? How do you grow that family that you're growing?
That word that you just used, resilient, is a perfect word for our people here in the South, because that word resilient means no matter what you is thrown at you, you overcome it and grow from it. So just like that Hank Williams Jr. song that says you can starve us out, or but we're, you know, you can starve us out, but we still gonna be here, and that's what's going on.
Yeah, precisely. I mean, we're talking about we're still going to be here, and that's what's going on. The door opened up while you were just saying that, and we can hear the classic country and the rock playing outside. It's nothing but joy. Thank you so much, Hunter.
Yeah, Hunter, before you go, I think when you were on with us last November, you were already married, much to the chagrin of our female audience, but you are now expecting, or at least your wife.
Yeah, there's a chicken in the oven.
God bless you. God bless you, my friend, and Godspeed to you and your growing family. And thanks for being with us again tonight, at least for
thanks,
a few
man.
Minutes. Hunter, everybody. What about Hunter? We'll be right back.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love get married, and have some kids.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Searching, searching, every night and day. If we gotta keep on the run, follow the sun.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
Well, we're back, everybody, and as we begin this... No. This is only the second segment of the second hour, so we're not quite yet halfway through the program. That'll be coming up in the next segment. And I lament that, because we're having such a good time, you don't want the fun to end. There is something about being together with other kindred spirits that is illuminating, and it is just something that you can't quite fully experience online or through email or telephone or Zoom or whatever. You have to be together to feel this particular spirit and camaraderie. And that's exactly what we're doing tonight. And joining us now is another TPC teammate, member of the staff, Jack Ryan. And again, as I said, it was interesting why Jack is here tonight. He left Chicago right in advance of the 4th because he knew there was going to be a lot of bloodshed in Chicago. And certainly there was. But he, of all the places he could have gone to, he went to Charlotte, North Carolina. And I didn't know that until earlier this week that he was in Charlotte. And I said, well, I'm going to be just a few hours away. Why don't you come down and you join us on this remote broadcast? And so he extended his trip by a couple of days, and he made the drive down and a couple, 3 hours down. And here he is. So Jack Ryan, one of our, the TPC mainstays, is on with us just about every show. Now, listen. He is the only man wearing a University of Chicago shirt here. That's for everybody else is wearing a Confederate flag, but he's a Confederate at heart. And he's got his Vanderbilt Commodores hat on. So that's better. That's the Ivy League of the South, and with his Vanderbilt hat and his University of Chicago shirt, Jack Ryan now joins us. Jack, have you ever? Well, first of all, before I ask you the follow up question. Tell the audience what you've seen, what you've experienced, the conversations you've had. Tell them all about it.
Well, I'm happy to be alive and be in South Carolina, be in the South. Isn't it good to be alive and be in South Carolina?
Hey. Woo!
and I'm from Chicago. I'm sorry about that, but I've been trying to flee the place in Chicago since I was 7 years old, and I haven't managed to get on there. I think I'm gone. I feel I've been gone, and it drives me back, and I heard this place, but I'm still alive, and so I'm doing another scouting trip. I'm trying to relocate to the South. I went to school in Vanderbilt University when Vanderbilt was a Southern school. It's not really that much anymore, but I'm back in the South, and I'm seeing all these great Southern people, and I'm all these good old boys. But I want to just say it's not just the Southern good old boys. Let's say out to the Southern women, to the Southern women that gave birth to all these great people, that James Edwards, his wives, and his mother that gave birth to all these great Southern people. So I'm trying to relocate and try to get back here. If you will accept me, these Southern people, to try to be, I'm trying to move back. I'm trying to connect with the South.
Well, that should be easy for you because you're a Westman. So, I mean, this is just an extension of Western culture, Western civilization.
Western civilization, spirit. But Western civilization can go down in places that you think are really good and that they're
oh, without
good.
Question. They become less Western.
And they're there, and then but places I've gone, and a lot of people say, like, oh, it's gone, but we can't just, like, give up places. We can't give up places, and you think that things are gone. So, like, lots of places that were gone for us, in Eastern Europe, Central Europe, Leningrad is now St. Petersburg. So there are so things. So lots of places that we think are gone for us are coming back. So we have it. But Chicago, I'm sorry, it's not a good place for, like, patriotic, good Christian people. Chicago is terrible. It's the worst it's ever been. And I'm trying to sell my place. I'm trying to get out of this. I'm trying to leave.
Let me.
I just want to get out of there. And I just want to just, like, I want to try to connect with these great Southern people. And I really want to be gone. And I could sell my co-op. It's right on the shore of Lake Michigan. It's like perfect place. It's there. But I, like, give it away because I want to just leave. Chicago has never been worse. The criminals, the gangsters, these
Jack,
terrible feminists, and things like that.
Let me refocus you because you want to be down south, right?
You
want to be down south, and you've been here today, and you've been seeing all of this positive energy.
Yeah, right.
What is it about the events of today, or particular events, that's drawing you to want to be here in the South?
I love the South. I think it's like James Edwards says, is that the North is a direction, but the South is a place, and the South is a really good place, full of good people, full of good men and women and history and all these things. So that's what I'd like to be. I'd like to come back to the South. I'd like to be accepted and do these things. But I want to come back to the South. But you know, you got to do all these things. You want to come in there, and you want to be accepted and do all these things. And I'm sorry, it's not. But I'm not a communist. I'm a terrible person. I'm not from, you know, the Midwest. And Midwestern people were kind of bland, okay? We're not exciting. They're like, Johnny Carson? Like, he was a Midwestern guy, that Johnny Carson.
He was amazing. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing bland about Johnny Carson.
No, there were kind of a bit bland Midwestern people, but we want to go in there. We want to just get
away
from this crap. So we want to come back to the South. There's lots of people fleeing these areas.
Well, what is it about these areas that you're talking about, different from the South? What's about the South, the culture of the South, that you think has survived a little bit better than we have seen in other parts of the United States?
I think just Southern people are they're good people. They're not crazy. They're not. They're like, I live in Chicago. Last year in Chicago, we had 4,000 shootings, 800 murders. Now that they've got legalized looting and carjacking, it's horrible. And it's just like, these are these black gang members that kill people and stuff. But those aren't the worst people. It's just the regular women there in there, and they're just so mean. They don't like men. You can't get married, and so I'm trying to flee. I'd rather hang out with black gang members in Chicago than these Hillary women that have this stuff. So, like, I'm not a hateful person. I'm really not a hateful person, but I hate these Chicago feminist communists. I just don't like them. I don't think they're any fun. So I'm trying to flee them. I'm trying to flee and trying to get over these good ones. So that's,
I'll tell you what it is, Jack, about the Southern people. Yeah. The Southern people were forged in fire. Our suffering was forged in fire, and it created an identity that has been unbreakable.
They're crazy.
And it may be a little bit more watered down than it was in the years during Reconstruction and after, but there still exists here a separate culture and a separate identity from the entirety of the United States proper.
I like
that. And that's why, hey, Jack, Have you ever spent a day in your life where you have seen more Confederate flags than you have today?
Well, I've seen a lot of Confederate flags here. I like the Confederate flags, and I like the history. And, no, I'm having a great time.
Jason, as you look out now with your eyes, you look around at our atmosphere and our surroundings, how many Confederate flags do you see right now?
This is like the guessing how many candies or whatever it is right in the jar. It looks like maybe over 100, maybe it looks like. Maybe more. But I tell you what, they mean a lot more. They mean a lot more to us, to those who know what it really means around the world. That's because there are going to be people who are...
Pardon the interruption. That was one of the things that he said. Other than our identity, other than it was our ancestors, other than the spiritual and the biological connection to the South, it is a resistance to tyranny. And that's what this flag represents as much as anything else.
Oh, absolutely. Resistance to tyranny. And that is the spirit, by the way, which has drawn our brothers and sisters, members of Western kind, all around the world to take up the Confederate flag. It's the reason why when we hold reenactments across the South, that all of our brothers and sisters who come from Europe, who come from New Zealand, who come from Australia to visit and watch these reenactments, it's the reason why they go over to the southern side, to the southern settler camps, because they want to connect with that spirit that they feel in themselves, that spirit of resistance to tyranny that they feel even in their own lands.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. Half of the show is down, but half is still to come, so don't go anywhere. Jack Ryan will be back with us again. He's the only man who's going to get a repeat appearance tonight. He's part of the team. He's part of the staff. He's a brother. He's a friend. He's a great guy. You'll hear from him again in the third hour. Jack Ryan, everybody, give it up for him. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. President Joe Biden told Russian President Vladimir Putin on Friday, in a Friday phone call, that he must take action against cyber criminals acting in his country and that the U.S. reserves the right to defend its people and its critical infrastructure, the White House said.
The United States expects when a ransomware operation is coming from his soil, even though it's not sponsored by the state, expect them to act.
A fire engulfed a food and beverage factory outside Bangladesh's capital, killing at least 52 people, many of whom were trapped inside by an illegally locked door, fire officials said Friday. The blaze began Thursday night at the five-story Hashim Foods Limited factory, sending huge clouds of black smoke billowing into the sky. This is USA Radio News.
The best companion a pillow has ever had. You've heard me talking about Mike Lindell's Giza Dreams bed sheets now for a couple of years. They're the perfect companion to the MyPillow. Made with the world's best cotton called Giza, grown only in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River, its long staple cotton makes it ultra soft and breathable. And just like the MyPillow, there's a 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty. Try it for yourself. Mike Lindell and I promise you'll sleep better or you get your money back. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, use my promo code USA. You'll get 2-for-1 pricing plus free shipping, but only by using my promo code USA. Or call 1-800-951-8175 and ask for the Giza Dream Sheets special. And the promo code USA gets you up to 66% off the entire line of MyPillow products. Sleep better with the Giza Dreams bed sheets and save at MyPillow.com. Promo code USA.
Pfizer and BioNTech said they will seek approval from the FDA for a booster shot of its COVID-19 mRNA vaccine. However, the FDA and CDC said that a booster is not necessary at this time. Here's public health expert Dr. Aditi Narulkar.
Pfizer and other drug companies will continue to iterate whatever formulations they have. And that's not uncommon. And that's just something that they're doing. And they've been doing this for lots of vaccines and drugs. And it's just a natural process.
They expect a third dose to be even more powerful based on early data that has not yet been published or submitted to the FDA or other regulatory bodies. Despite most experts predicting that the Federal Reserve will raise interest rates as soon as 2023, an improving jobs market and rising inflation is leading the president of one Federal Reserve Bank to believe it should happen sooner, which would create an uptick on mortgage and refinance rates. This is USA Radio News.
Oh yeah, oh.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, as we just now crossed the halfway threshold of tonight's live broadcast, we bring to you now a very special guest. And his name is Rick. And Rick has been a longtime listener and supporter of TPC many, many, many years now. And it is our first time to actually meet in person this weekend. I said, Rick, I'm going to be in South Carolina to do this remote broadcast at this particular gathering. And if there's any way you could make it, I'd love to see you. And to my delight, he made arrangements and made the trip. And so for the first time, after years and years of correspondence, we are together, and we have had just a fantastic, unimaginably fun weekend together. And Jason has shared in that fellowship, by the way. Jason has was with us yesterday, and we were palling around town. And he's with us now on the broadcast, and he's going to tell you how long he's been listening and where he's from and his story and his takeaways from today. So, Rick, by all means, take it away.
Thank you, James. What a complete delight to be here. Folks, my name is Rick, and I'm Southern. I'm from South Brooklyn. And the thing is that, like every other kid in the 1950s, I had a Davy Crockett coonskin cap. Everybody wanted to be Davy Crockett. And I saw Elvis Presley on the Ed Sullivan Show, and everybody wanted to be Elvis. Yeah. And don't believe the hype you hear about New York City and Brooklyn. It's full of wonderful people. Mm. Brooklyn was always a hotbed of support for Joe McCarthy, for Charles Lindbergh, for Father Coughlin, for Huey Long. Right. Mm. It was called the City of Churches. Mm. And I would, Kirk Lyons mentioned that we'd been warned. I was warned. I would sit on the stoop in 1955, surrounded by veterans of World War II and the Korean War, and they knew, and they told me. And Mr. DeLuca left an arm on Iwo Jima, and he would stand up with his one good arm and chug a beer, and he would do a jump shot, and he'd always swish it into the garbage can. And he'd say, "Kid, in your lifetime," and he would tell me everything that has happened, every horrible aspect of the plague that we are facing, those men knew, and they told us. And another thing about Brooklyn you may not know, when we had the riots in the 60s in Bedford-Stuyvesant, in South Brooklyn, where we had Irish and Italian and Polish Catholics, the store owners sat in front of their stores with their rifles on their knees, and no one came into those stores, right? Mm. Now, Jason mentioned that, like, you know, the people in Europe, I've lived in Europe for 30 years, and I can tell you, when you go to Eastern Europe particularly, you see the rebel flag everywhere. Folks, I was in Istanbul, and in Istanbul, Turkey, there are a block which is nothing but guitar stores, and it's full of Telecasters and Southern iconography. Wow. Everybody wants to be Elvis. Even Muslims in Istanbul, they love the South, right? Yeah, and listen, folks, I don't think some people are saying we should move to Eastern Europe. No, we should take America back. But we should take a message from the people in Eastern Europe. And I've worked in Prague, and I've worked in Bucharest and Budapest and Sofia in Kiev, and they're white. It's like a dream come true, and the ads on the walls, paid for by the government, are white men and white women with white children.
Amen.
Yeah, and when you go into the beautiful Eastern Orthodox churches, they are all shrines to kicking the Muslims out. And they did it, and we can do it. It's not going to happen in England anytime soon. The government is run by Muslims, but we can learn from our brothers in Eastern Europe. They are so strong. They made me feel ashamed when I was there. Why did I have doubt that our people could survive? You know, I mean, you see those people, and it's just Well, John, of course. I mean, what are you worried about? No, we'll just take care of them. You know what I mean? I have to watch my language because I know we're on radio, but they use stronger language than that. Another funny thing about how the South is so popular. I was in Helsinki, and there was a country western bar next to the hotel. I went in there and heard one of the greatest country western bands I've ever heard, and they were Finns. And they were wearing vintage Western shirts and playing vintage guitars. And in between, they'd introduce the songs, and they say, "All my exes live in Texas." And then they'd start singing, and they sounded like they were from Tennessee. You know, wonderful. I think I'll leave it there, folks. But today I was here, this Italian Catholic kid from South Brooklyn, and when the band played Sweet Home Alabama, man, it put the hairs on the back of my head up, you know? I've recently moved to this area, and this is God's country, and the people are wonderful. And the stupid, easy bigotry you hear in England particularly, and in parts of America, even, I hate to tell you, from some former Southerners living in England, just saying things about white Southerners, especially white Southern Christians, especially white Southern Christian men, that if they said that about a homosexual or a Muslim or a black, they'd be in jail. Yeah?
That's right.
And yet you ask them, what do you like? Who do you like to read? Oh, Faulkner. Eudora Welty. What's your favorite music? Oh, Elvis. Leonard Skinner. You know, what's your favorite food? Oh, fried chicken. Hello. You know.
Listen, Rick, I want to go back to the moment you were talking about where the hair.
Very quickly, Jason. Has Rick stolen the show? Are we even needed anymore?
Oh, no. Stop.
Without question, I'm absolutely in awe. It was fantastic, but thank you for bringing that perspective that is so broad, because so many of us have our perspective narrowed intentionally by the anti-whiteism, but also the force to produce and consume in everyday life. We have to put up with the consequences of the anti-white ideology on ourselves, on our spouses, on our children, and that narrows our focus until we see nothing but our navels. You have helped us to see a broader perspective. And in this, I want to ask, to go back to the point I was going to make, a question I was going to ask, and that is, you, where you're from, what you feel in your heart, when they were playing Sweet Home Alabama, you felt that inspiration move through you, that chill, the hair standing up on the back of your neck. That is something that is deeper than just an ideology that you can put on a people. That is something that is coming from what we refer to in Going Free as the biosphere, something that is the essence of who and what we are. I would like you moved through the crowd today. You spoke, Rick, you spoke with a lot of different people today. I saw you having a great time. I want you to live that for us for a moment, for these listeners, so that they can experience.
It's like I came onto this, to the property here, and my shoulders came down. You know, it was like I'd had a chiropractic adjustment or something. You know, I felt at home. I felt welcomed, you know, and I always think humor is very important, and I encountered so many great senses of humor today, you know, and you know, in the part of the South that I'm currently living in, the same thing, a great self-deprecating sense of humor, you know, you know, music is so powerful, and I saw an amateur theatrical production a week or so ago, and there were all these Southern women on the stage singing in beautiful harmony, and there was just a power in it of them feeling the music and letting it rip and letting it resonate through their bodies. Yeah. It was really like a transcendent moment.
Rick, you have to tell us. You just spoke a moment ago about going to Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
And you felt the energy of our people there.
Yeah.
And you're talking now about going to the South and feeling the energy.
Yeah.
That same spirit moving through our people, wherever there is pride, wherever we love ourselves.
Jason, we are one. We are a people. I walk down the streets of Lisbon. People come up to me talking Portuguese. In Warsaw, it's Polish. In Paris, it's French. You get in Milan, it's Italian. Because they think I'm them, because I look like them, because I am them.
Amen to that.
Woo!
Amen to that, brother.
They are us, and we are them, and we are all together, I think, as the Beatles sang, you know?
Right.
We are a people, and you know, they know it. They know it, and that's why they hate us. And by the way, the they I'm talking about, we all know who I'm talking about. They hate us because they hate themselves, and they hate themselves because they can never be us.
Hey. Woo. Well, without question, brother.
James. Rick, can you host the rest of the program for me? Listen, I want to ask you to stay on for another segment. Hey, Rick is so nice, we have to ask him to stay twice. But, but ladies and gentlemen, is this man not fantastic? Yeah. A native New Yorker down here in Dixie, but he is one of us. And I'll tell you this, I'll take Rick over so many native-born Southerners like Russell Moore. Jason, to speak to that. This is the identity and the spirit of Western kind that transcends regional. Obviously, we're proud of our Southern patrimony, but there's so many Southerners, native-born Southerners, that I would love to dismiss for a man like this. With 10 seconds to go, speak to that.
I'll just very briefly say, and we can come back and we can talk about it again, that this is the spirit of the West that comes through, and all it takes is a single flame in a single region to ignite the entire globe.
Amen.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned, everybody.
Right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Call is being transferred to the listening ear. Listening professionals dedicated to hearing you.
Hello, listening ear. Who am I listening to?
Carrie, but I was calling my mom.
Yes, you were, but your mom was so busy she felt it was important for you to have someone who could completely focus on listening to you and you alone. So she subscribed to our service. Go ahead, I'm listening.
Well, I'm not quite sure.
Where to start? Well, I can listen to school issues like science projects. I can listen to boy problems, although that's an extra $3 per call because of the emotional drain on me. How about we start with how you wish you had made cheerleader?
I didn't try out for cheerleader.
This isn't Mary?
Carrie. I'm Carrie.
Oh, sorry.
There is no substitute for a loving parent. And when you really listen, love is what they'll hear. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, for more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march. That is why we pray. And that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Welcome back to Get On The Show. Call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
I got to say, folks, both my co-host tonight, Jason Kuna, and I agreed that Rick was a guest so nice we needed to listen to him twice. And so we're having him close out this hour as well. Rick has been a listener. I was just asking him during the last break. He's been listening for 11 or 12 years to TPC. Never has called in before, but he is here tonight for this live broadcast. And ladies and gentlemen, let me know by your applause and by your voice, has Rick stolen the show tonight? Rick, for all the years you've been listening, and for all the years you've been supporting, and for all the years you've been a friend, I'm so thankful for the opportunity that we have had this weekend to share in fellowship with you. Jason and I, we were touring the town with you yesterday in advance of this wonderful gathering today and tonight. But listening to the show versus being on it, how are we doing tonight? What first brought you to the show? Reflections on that.
James, I honestly don't remember. I think you were mentioned, name-checked on some other show, and I decided to chase you down, and I found the show and listened, and I was instantly hooked. And the rapport you had with Keith, you were so naturally funny together. That was what really got me, because I do think humor is so important, and you just made me laugh out loud.
The sizzle sells the steak.
That's it. You got it. It was the Abbott and Costello of the the alternative right, and because I was over in Europe, I would download the show and then listen as I was walking around the capitals of Europe or whatever, or Africa, and I'd be giving out rebel yells and fist pumping and everything, and people would think I was insane, and it was just because I was listening to the political cesspool.
It was because you were sane.
Yeah.
That's why the insane couldn't understand.
Yeah.
So this
yeah.
was the beginning of your journey listening to the political cesspool and becoming familiar with the personalities, Jason, Bill Rowland and so many others.
Yeah, and Eddie the Bombardier Miller.
Yeah.
And Jason, the cesspool for me was a lifeline, and it was like an oasis and a vacation from the insanity of what was going on in Europe.
And God bless you for mentioning the name of Bill Rowland. That's a name that should never be forgotten.
Yeah.
Well, that's a beautiful thing that you're saying, and so many people experience that. So perhaps you could speak to that for another moment, how this is a lifeline. It's a way to escape the insanity of the world, where everybody around you is signaling that they're anti-white.
Absolutely.
Villainy
everyone.
Signaling.
Even if they're not, they feel that they must.
That's it.
You know, otherwise they're going to be blacklisted, they're going to lose their job and everything, so they're the first one to do it.
Yep.
It made me think, I'm not crazy. I'm not the only one who feels this way.
Yes.
You know, there are other people out there, and I just tuned in, and it was like, those of you of a certain age will remember the old Radio Free Europe ads on television with people smoking the cigarettes in that weird upside-down European way, huddled around a radio, and that's the way I felt when I was listening to the political cesspool, I thought that the Stasi was going to bang on my door any moment and, smash the tubes on my radio,
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, and that is revealing the lie of the anti-white narrative, which of course is that white men control Western civilization for the benefit of white people.
Yes.
And in fact, the opposite is the case. You feel you walk through society, as all of these listeners do right now. They walk through society fearful of who is listening to what they say. Even they are listening to what they say in their own head, their own thoughts. It's a bit of a scary thing.
You know, Jason, it's a strange supremacy that allows other people to ridicule it nonstop. It's a strange supremacy that has every corporation in its sphere against it. It's a strange supremacy that lets every spokesman on the media attack it. That's not a very supreme person, pretty
precisely.
Weak, actually. You know, they used to, listen, I'm off the Trump train, but they used to say Trump was Hitler and a Nazi, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's a strange kind of dictator that allows every night on television comedians to mock him and hold up bloody heads.
Yes.
Stalin would have had that person in a gulag the next day.
Yeah, precisely.
You know? Yeah.
And now we see, well, let's bring it up to today. Right now, you're here, you're watching live, you were at a time rescued by TPC because you were going through life like so many of these listeners right now. I'm going to paint a picture and I'm going to give it to you. I saw over the course of the day, I saw this wonderful little family, a mother, young mother, a young husband.
Here at this event.
Today, here at this event, three little ones, all dressed beautifully. The mother kneels down with the three little ones. She's answering some questions. She's wiping something off the little girl's face. Speak to that. Speak to sitting in here in this this corner with us, listening to what we have to share here, TPC, live after so many years, well, grabbing a hold of that lifeline.
It's natural law given flesh, made manifest. Yeah. You see,
amen.
It's the way things ought to be.
Yes.
You know, and the way things are when they're allowed to, when the river's allowed to flow naturally, that's where it goes.
Amen.
You know, I've been struck that I talk to everybody, and I was talking to people in, you know, my part of the South, and I'll talk to kids who are like pierced and tattooed and everything.
Oh my
but when
gosh.
I get them going, they say, really, what I want to do is get married, have kids, and have a house with a white picket fence.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
They're really sweet kids.
Yes.
But
yes.
Somehow they've been sold this poisonous idea that they have to do all this strange, you know, decorative stuff, and in some cases mutilation of the body.
That's what it is.
And to try to, I don't know, arm themselves or to join that that dysfunctional tribe of sickos and weirdos. And
yes.
You know, you go to Asheville and it's full of nothing but that.
Yes.
You know?
And you see this. I just jump in. I'll let you continue. You see this in Western kind. You don't see it any other way. This self-hatred that mutilates itself.
Yes.
That seeks to white flight away from its identity.
Yeah. Well, it used to be that they put straitjackets on people to prevent them from self-mutilating.
Yes.
That was what straitjackets were for.
Well,
you know. And now, you know, it's glorified. You know, the insane asylums are full of people who think they're Napoleon and Jesus Christ. But the streets
yes.
are full of people men who think they're women and women who think they're men.
Oh, yes.
Jason, we're out of work. If this guy wants to take over a program or be his own voice or whatever, I mean, what are we going to do with this guy, Jason?
I don't celebrate him and
pay
just keep
me.
Him going.
Hey, I want to bring Jack on very quickly. Jack, come back up for a second. Now, no, you keep the mic. Jack, you come over here. Rick, you've been listening to the show for years and years, so you know Jack Ryan is one of our regular contemporaries, and you had the opportunity to share a little bit of fellowship today as well. Rick, your reflections on Jack. Jack, your observations on Rick.
Well, can I just say that we just found out we're both big fans of Chicago Blues. Right,
Chicago Blues, yeah. And then we also have a Brooklyn connection that we've got. So I was a public school teacher in Brooklyn, New York, 7th, 8th grade.
Wow,
there. So like,
did you get combat pay for that?
I didn't get combat pay, but if I ever see people, you ever in the military, I said, I spent 2 years in combat. I was a public school student in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Like, you guys got to use guns.
Yeah.
Like, and I just had a ruler that I had to do.
And by the way, Jack, I did my first artist, resident artist in the schools in 1969.
Right.
And the stuff that's going on now in the schools was already going on then.
It was going on then, yeah. So it is. It's like, the problems that we have are nothing new.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have them. So my view is like, if you're a good Southerner, if you're a good American, you have to know what's right and what's wrong, and you just have to wade in there. So, you know, like everything, like if you're not confused about the problems that we have in our country, like brutal drug dealers and gangbangers, stuff like that. So good people, we're there, we're tough. Obviously, the Southerners are the best that we have, but we got some good people that were there in Brooklyn, and God bless you that we were there. And
Jack, one of my favorite messages you give to people is, and this might seem frivolous, but it's really not, you always say, guys, learn to dance. Women love to dance. They love guys who can dance.
Right.
If you want to meet girls, learn to dance and go to church.
Rick, we saw it today, this elderly man out
this
there
guy,
cutting
old.
A rug,
Absolutely.
Cutting a rug, and then he had all these young girls coming up.
He was
up.
Pulling all these chicks out
of
here.
Yes, he did. I got it all. I recorded it. I couldn't believe it.
Absolutely. We encourage our listeners, our men, our young men listening to this, obviously learn to box, fight, and things like that. But partner dance, we need to dance.
Yep.
And that's if you can dance. You're always going to get a date.
Yep.
You're always going to have it there. And then, like, say, like, white guys can't dance or something. Like, yes, we can. We can have it there. And I put in my one, I'm a great swing dancer, salsa dancer. If you get to dance.
Your mambo is second to none.
You're
going to
do pretty good. You know, we can do that. And, like, you know, I can't do the slam dunk, like, the one like that. But we can do basketball and stuff. But, like, teach your young men to wrestle, boxing, and partner dance. And get in there, and you can stance and things like that. We're
competitive
gonna be okay.
Flower arranging, maybe not.
Well,
know, gay stuff like that. Like, white guys can't jump, but white guys can dance. And so, like, I'm a dancer. Like, yeah, like, that we have. So, yeah, we want to encourage our young men to dance. And so those are things. We're going to do okay. Things look rough, but right now I'm in South Carolina. The world looks really good in South Carolina.
We're going to win.
Like, we've got great guys, and we're going to do it. God bless. God bless.
Jack Ryan from Chicago teaming up with Rick from South Brooklyn. He's a Southerner. He's from South Brooklyn. In this incredible gathering. Rick, with only seconds remaining, your takeaways from today, what it's been like to be here, and the people you've spoken with and talked to.
It's just been a joy. This is a beautiful part of America with beautiful women.
If we not start our fair share.
Hey, whoa.
We'll talk about that when we come back.
Yeah.
God bless America. God bless the South. We're going to come back. We're gonna tease you with that pause as the music begins to play. I'm going to come back on the women. When we come back, I got to say something about the women that we've seen this weekend. And I'll tell you when we come back. That's a little teaser. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back. Give it up, everybody. One more hour to go.